So let us pray. Loving Father, we thank you for your word to us this day, your living word that comes off the pages of Scripture and speaks to our hearts. Please open us up to all that you wish to show us this morning, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week we were considering the encounter with Nicodemus and the Lord Jesus. Nicodemus came in the darkness to the one who said, "I am the light of the world." And this morning we consider the account of the woman who met Jesus, who came looking for water from the one who would be able to offer her the living water. In the gospel reading today, Jesus has a long conversation with this woman, the longest conversation he had with anyone as an individual in all of the New Testament, which is amazing on several different levels. The first is that Jesus is talking personally to an unrelated, unaccompanied woman as he would to any man. This in itself was unheard of and went against the cultural norms of his day. Secondly, it's surprising because Jesus has this long conversation with one who would be considered an outsider, a Samaritan, a half-breed as far as the Jews were concerned. In Jesus' day, there was a huge wall that divided the people into two camps, Jews on one hand and Samaritans on the other. And their animosity towards each other could be traced back many, many years. Jews and Samaritans considered each other to be heretics, ethnically unclean and theologically misdirected. So when Jesus crosses into the hostile territory of Samaria and begins to ask aid of a Samaritan woman, both sides would be shocked, both the Jews and the Samaritans. The woman came to draw water at midday. This was not the usual time that women drew water. They would come always in the morning and again towards evening. And the meeting place would be a social occasion for sharing stories with one another. Wells provided social gathering places, but the woman in this passage seems to be avoiding interaction with other people by coming at the warmest, hottest time of day when nobody else was around. So maybe she felt outcast even in her own time and place. I find it strange that over the centuries, commentators and preachers seem to have focused on the woman's marital history, suggesting she is engaged in immoral sexual behavior. But Jesus is not, in this instance, uncovering a shameful past. He doesn't want to expose a life of sin when he says she has had five husbands and the man she is with now is not her husband. There may be all sorts of different reasons that this woman had been married several times. Perhaps she had been widowed. Perhaps she had been abandoned five times. Perhaps she has had to marry her husband's brother, because he has died and she is childless. There are all sorts of reasons why she may have had five husbands. And maybe the man she is living with now is not one she is engaged in a sexual relationship with. But over the years, she has been portrayed as a scandalous woman. I just wonder what her life was like. She has had five great wounds happening in her life. What hurts was she carrying? Why did she feel she couldn't be in the company of others? There's so many people like this in our own society today. See people coming to the centre at Bray Head time and again, who people are making judgments against and who feel they need to hide away. Jesus speaks to the woman with kindness and compassion. He seems to know her in some intimate way, and because of this, she responds to him. She could have maybe felt she didn't want to engage in conversation, but this is not her reaction. She feels safe with this man, despite his deep knowledge of her personal life. And maybe that's why she calls him a prophet. What is it like to be fully known? For most of us, the prospect of being transparent to others, even those whom we know really well, can be a bit unnerving. And there are always things that we would not wish to disclose to others, things that we want to keep secret, preferring to hold on to our past and private memory. We don't want to feel exposed. We don't want to let others see who we really are. But here in this passage, we see that God's knowledge of us is total and complete, and its purpose is different from what we may fear most. God's knowledge of us is not intended to condemn, but to hold open the potential for a deeper self-awareness and change. I think we have lots in common with this woman who encountered Jesus. There is an outsider inside all of us. We are not what we want to be, or maybe what we should be. Perhaps we did something years ago that we've not been able to forget. Perhaps we've caused hurt to someone in an inexcusable way. Perhaps we have scars that are hard to miss, but others have scars so deep that we think we're the only ones who know about them. We are not who people think we are. I can remember a time in my life when hurts from the past were surfacing, and I began to feel that I wasn't fit to be in the role of minister. I used to think if only people knew what had happened to me in the past, if only they knew the things that I had done and said, they wouldn't want to know me. And Sunday after Sunday, as I came into the pulpit, I felt as if I was a fraud, that I really shouldn't be there. But just as the woman encountered Jesus at the well, so one day I had an encounter with a man who was able to begin to unlock the deepest hurts that I was carrying, and who stayed with me over 7 long years as I explored the hurts, the wounds, the situations I'd found myself in. And month by month by month, I felt safe and secure to open up to him, until eventually I was able to see that I was not condemned by God, and that I could, in fact, continue on in ministry, having been healed and known forgiveness, been offered a fresh start in my life and my journey of faith. When Jesus first speaks to the woman, she assumes he does not know who she is, but Jesus knows her very well and loves her just the same. And that's good news for us this morning. God knows who we are, knows all about our dark corners, and loves us anyway. sometimes hard for people to believe. But God is a God of grace, and God is a God of mercy. And when we open ourselves up to his healing touch, our secrets, our past, lose their power over us, and we are free to live with joy. When Jesus initially asks the woman for a drink of water, she is astonished by his request. But when Jesus starts talking of living water on a theological level, she becomes confused and immediately brings the discussion back to the reality of the bucket and the well. Similar to Nicodemus, who couldn't get his head round the fact of being born again, this lady doesn't understand at first what Jesus is saying. She asks for some of this water so she won't have to go through the daily necessity of carrying water from the well. But then Jesus speaks to her more, and she begins to understand that she has a spiritual thirst that only the Lord can quench. I wonder if you're thirsty this morning. I wonder what will satisfy your deepest spiritual thirst. I wonder if there are areas of life that need to have this living water flowing in and through to cleanse and heal, to restore and make new. In this woman's encounter with Jesus, we see healing in its purest and fullest form. The woman is healed completely as she comes to faith in Jesus. Past and present and future are redeemed. She is made new, and off she goes, leaving behind her water jar to tell others the good news. She no longer wants to stay apart from other people. She has something to say, and off she goes. In her healing, she then is able to bring others to Jesus that they might have that healing touch in their lives. We sang just a little while ago, "Be still, for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is here." And for sure, Jesus is here this morning in the presence of the Holy Spirit. And as he moves among us, he knows all about us, and he is able to tell us everything we have ever done. He sees the wounds and the broken places. He sees the things behind the smiles, those hurts that we hide from the world. He sees all the things that people have said about us or are saying about us. And he whispers gently to us this morning, "I know," as he carefully wraps our woundedness in the bandages of love. The scene at the well is a beautiful, gentle encounter with a Lord who comes to us just as we are, who embraces us in the good things and the bad, who understands the things we try to hide and the places within us that desperately cry out for living water. In Jesus, God shows a commitment to know and dwell among his people. And he's not limited to the space between the walls of church buildings or the pages of scripture. God is here and there, on the streets, with the homeless, in our neighborhood, in prison cells and hospitals. He's with our teenagers and our young people. Everywhere people are, there is God waiting to meet with them. For many, many years, the Samaritan woman was labeled a harlot a scandalous woman. But what I see in her and her transformation is a woman who stopped allowing other people around her to determine who she is. A woman who learned for herself the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ and proudly proclaimed it to anyone who would listen. She left her water jug full of disappointment, pain, and brokenness, and went carrying within her the living water of life. And that water is available to each and every one of us as we sit in the pews. Are you thirsty this morning? Do you need to stop a while with Jesus and drink from the living water? He is here. He is with us. And he knows everything we have ever done. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you offer us living water day after day after day. And if only we will receive it, you will pour it out in the form of grace and mercy, of healing and forgiveness, salvation. So let us open up and drink that water. And as it flows through us, as we come alive in our spirit, let our own healing be an agent of healing for others as we speak with them the words of Christ. So we praise you and thank you for your knowledge of us and for a love that will never let us go. Amen.